Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you. Coming up, RJ Choppy's going to join us from 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, our affiliate there, to discuss the latest on the Cowboys and more sky is falling talk around that organization after a putrid effort on Monday night and the entire nation recognizing what we all knew anyway. Oh, right. The Cowboys are bad. Oh, by the way, the Cowboys traded away a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper, right? We're all in lockstep. They traded away a first-round draft pick this year for Amari Cooper. And while Amari did have an impact in the game, catching a touchdown, while Amari clearly became a favorite target already of Dak Prescott, let me ask you this. What do you think Dallas ends up at? They're 3-5 right now. Let's say they have this same second half of the season as they did the first half, that they become 6-10. They're 6-10. That would put them at maybe the number 9 pick in the NFL draft. Let me ask you this. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, would you rather have the number 9 pick in the draft or Amari Cooper? It's a no-brainer, which is why it was so stupid to trade for Amari. Yes, they did not have a number 1 draft pick. But this is worse than just signing a free agent, because you'll eventually have to pay him and you gave up a first-rounder for him. This is his fourth year of his rookie deal. Let's assume the Giants, the Raiders, the Browns will be 1, 2, and 3. Maybe the Cardinals are in there. Maybe the Niners are in there. Outside of that, the Bills, that's the 6 worst teams of the NFL. After that, your 3-5s are the Jaguars, the Colts, the Jets are 3-6, the Broncos are 3-6, the Buccaneers are 3-5, the Lions are 3-5. That jumble of teams, the Cowboys could end up drafting like number 7 in April. Would you rather have the number 7 pick or Amari Cooper? One of the teams that have figured it out, the Minnesota Vikings, as they began the season very ho-hum in that terrible loss at home against the Buffalo Bills, it looked like all of the preseason prognostications were going poof. They began the season 1-2-1, that tie against the Packers and losses to the Bills and the Rams. But since then, they've won 4 of their last 5. They just dismantled the Lions, sacking Matthew Stafford 10 times on Sunday. And here's Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings, saying that Kirk Cousins has been phenomenal for this team. And most guys in that locker room openly talking about what a benefit, what a bonus Kirk Cousins has been. Now, look, I like this signing for the Vikings because, number 1, it showed they feel they're close. they feel like they were a quarterback away and they went and got him. I appreciate that. They're not going to play it safe. Number two, no matter what Case Keenum was going to be this year, Cousins is an upgrade. We all know that by watching football. Kirk Cousins might not be a great quarterback. He might not be a top 10 quarterback, but we know that Kirk Cousins is an upgrade over Case Keenum. And so Rick Spielman saying that Cousins has been phenomenal is kind of obvious. He's the GM. He spent all of that money. He's not suddenly going to say, oh, yeah, my investment was stupid. He's terrible. I can't believe I signed a bum. No, he's going to love up and wax his signee, makes him look better. But for the most part, Cousins has been very good. Cousins has had an incredible dynamic with Adam Thielen. Cousins has been able to spread the football around. Cousins has been able to score points. And really, the Vikings have been able to score for most of the season. Outside of that debacle against the Bills, they've scored 20 to 30 points every game. And with a defense that good, that should be good enough to win most games. Kirk Cousins is attention to detail guy. Kirk Cousins is do all the little things right kind of guy. Kirk Cousins is happy-go-lucky, smiley, positive energy. He's around you, and he wants you to like him. He wants to know your name. All of these things Kirk Cousins takes very seriously. And so he's a good quarterback. Is he a great one? That's up for debate. But I think that Kirk Cousins loses something. What you hear is he's not a guy. He's not a guy's guy. You don't want to go out for a beer with him, okay? He's not a guy that revs you up during a game. That's not Tom Brady. It's not Brett Favre where you go, man, I can have a beer with that dude. It's not Ben Roethlisberger where the defensive guys go, that dude is a tough guy. He's cerebral. He's meticulous. He considers himself more of an accountant than he does a quarterback. And so yesterday when he's holding his press conference, he is asked about having the most fumbles lost in the league. And I thought this was interesting. Kirk Cousins has been very good. But there is one statistic where he does not look very good this season. Fumbles lost. Okay? And in this moment, he is asked about fumbles lost. And to me, what you say is, I've got to play better. We're trying to win games here. I can't afford it. Right? That's obviously what you do. Instead, he kind of rationalizes it. No player in the NFL has lost more fumbles than Kirk Cousins. He's lost 6 fumbles. So he's asked about this. And what does Kirk say?
You know, what we're talking about in the quarterback room is that not all fumbles are created equal. So like yesterday or Sunday when I pitched to Dalvin, that's a fumble on me, I believe. If a shotgun snap is off to the right and it's not caught, that's a fumble. If under center, if a snap is bobbled, that's a fumble. So that's different than I'm running with the ball and somebody punches it out like what happened against the Bills. So to just say, oh, he's got X number of fumbles this year, doesn't really tell the story. Now to say he's got X number of fumbles, you know, running with the ball, with 2 hands on the ball, as you would think of a fumble, compared to whatever that league average is, then that's something we got to look at. And so that's something I've asked, you know, analytics to get me, is those the numbers, you know, within the numbers, so that I can really break down the specific fumbles that matter, that I can control, rather than, you know, a shotgun snap that might be over to my right, and now that's statistically marked as a fumble, but in reality, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do about it.
Makes me wince. Not what I want to hear. You know, in Kirk Cousins' mind, he's trying to go inside what he can control. In his mind, he is saying, hey, if a shotgun snap is five yards to my right, I can't control that, so there's nothing for me to work on there. But as the leader of a locker room, you need to take responsibility for other guys' mistakes. Guess what? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Those guys don't say, yeah, I threw that INT because we ran the wrong route. They never throw their receivers under the bus. Yeah, you know what? I mean, my guy was supposed to be there, but he wasn't. I threw it to where he was supposed to be. We've worked on that a million times. He wasn't there. No. These are the types of things why Kirk Cousins doesn't get that next rarefied air. Because Brady's going to defend you. Because Breeze is going to defend you. Because for all of the urgency that Aaron Rodgers shows on the field, and at times maybe it looks like pettiness, but that's not a guy that is going to shirk his responsibility. That's not a guy that's going to duck his own criticism. If you are the leader of men, if you are in that locker room, in that huddle saying, follow me, and you're making $90 million guaranteed, just own all the fumbles. Own them all. Don't start getting into, well, there was a pitch to Dalvin Cook and he bobbled it. Well, there was a shotgun snap and I can do nothing about that because that was just wide of me. Not all fumbles are created equal, guys. But I know I lead the league. Just say, I've got to be better. Even say we've got to be better as a team. And that starts with me. But, I mean, you know, to put blame on other guys about your fumbles is not what a quarterback does. It's not what great quarterbacks do. And there's, right there is what you see as the difference. Right there, that's it. Between Cousins being great. Because he's very good. And people like him largely. And he wants to be liked. And he wants to be respected. But that little extra bit is, I got you. I lead. You guys follow. I will show you the way. Hey, that's on you. We'll correct it in practice. That can't happen. But in the media, in the public, I got this. When you start mealy-mouthing around what fumbles are and what's the definition and the numbers within the numbers, you didn't say, I got this. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I got to say, I got a couple of tweets this morning from a listener, and I have to read them because these are really, really interesting. And to be quite frank, I'm blushing a little bit. Rose tweets, DA, number one, I'm no longer a silent listener. I must speak out on some things. First, I learned of your show when you moved to the 9 a.m. time slot, and I've been hooked ever since. Now, that was now a year and a half ago. I first watched the show last week when Katie Linadal was there for Halloween. Man, DA, listen, all of you guys there are fine AF. I'm drooling. Whoa. Wow.
She's a bad girl, David.
Rose goes on to tweet, number two, I just can't go back to listening to iHeartRadio. Now I have to watch every day. Bogish is so damn gorge. Wow. And Huge Freeze, he's fine too. He can sing to me any day, all day. Best damn good-looking sports show crew, period. I'm a fan for life.
Robbie.
Bogish is a handsome man. Not many people would say that about Robbie. I love the fact that you are watching now and addicted to watching the show. And I agree. I think it's a great simulcast. We work really hard on it. It's like our TV show. You should watch it at watchda.com. But Rose is making us all blush here. And I have to say, I might have to question what you think is fine if Robbie is your kind of guy.
Hugh Freeze.
But I appreciate the compliments very much. Very, very much. And I will pass them along to the guys. I will let Bogish know in the next commercial break. And I will let Robbie know when he is in tomorrow for the Battle of the Bulge.
The kicker missed for the Huskies. A 2-1 week for Huge Freeze. homeward bound.
I will let them know they're fine AF. When we come back here on the show, RJ Choppy's going to join us from Dallas on everything swirling around the Cowboys right now. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Catch behind the scenes of the DA show by following me on Instagram. Follow me at Damon Amendo. And check out my IG stories there for behind the scenes on the show. Well, the debacle in Dallas continues after they lost on Monday night to the Tennessee Titans to fall to 3-5. Joining us here on the show to discuss what is next for this Cowboys squad is our friend RJ Choppy from our 105.3 The Fan affiliate in Dallas. RJ, good morning. How you doing, bud?
DA, what's happening, man? Doing well.
Appreciate you jumping on, as always. Always good to catch up with you. And let's start with the trade for Amari Cooper. That was the last big moment in this season before this loss. Did you agree with trading the number one for Cooper?
No, I didn't. I don't think trading what at the time and what looks to be now a top 10 pick for a wide receiver who is going to have one cheap year left. And by cheap, I mean the rest of this year. And then he's owed $14 million. I didn't think that was very good value. You know, this team still operates in the Stone Age, like the Giants. You know, they got draft a running back number two. This team drafts number four, and they're just their idea of, you know, player positional value along with draft picks. I just think it's completely outdated. And no, I did not like the trade. The player is terrific, but it's not about the player; it's about the pick.
So you had Troy Aikman yesterday talking about needing a complete overhaul of the franchise. This is not breaking news. Anybody that knows the Cowboys franchise knows this has been prevailing notion. You know, at some point in time, the power structure of the Cowboys should change or needs to change for them to really be successful. In your estimation, what's the most problematic part of the way the power structure is built in Dallas?
Oh, well, you know, Troy's right, but Troy's been talking about doing something like that for 15 years now, and it's just not going to happen. We're all at the realization in town that the power structure is what it is, and it really isn't going to change. But, I mean, to be honest with you, what needs to change is there's just not a checks and balances system. The owner is also the GM. His son, Steven, is the kind of the real GM now, where he's running a lot of the show. And then you've got this other power structure guy, Will McClay, the player personnel director. He's got a major role. And then Jason Garrett. I mean, that's the power structure. And there's a lot of problems with it because it's kind of going away from the rest of the league. And if you really want the honest opinion, I mean, the fact that the owner is also the GM, that has not played well. And it continues to not play well with this team. And it's not going to change, whether it's Jerry or Steven. You know, when Steven takes over this team, when Jerry's done with it, it's going to be the same thing here. I think Steven really wants to be the GM as well. It's all he's grown up knowing.
RJ Choppy joins us. He's from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our affiliate there. If Jerry stepped aside and said, you know what, I will have no influence over personnel decisions, I will give it all to Steven and company, would that be an improvement?
I don't think so. They're still going away the rest of the league is doing. Now, that could be good. I mean, you know, you could find ways to go away from what the rest of the league is doing and succeed at it. But, you know, they don't have a guy in play. The GM should be taking the information from the scout and telling the rest of the organization whether or not this player is good and if it matters that he's good. And that's what the Cowboys miss. They draft guys based on their talent and not whether or not their position matters how good they are. That's how they sign guys, too. And that's my biggest problem with this organization is that I just don't think that they value the positions appropriately. And that's where this team is in a bind. Their offensive system is so out of whack. I mean, they're trying to run. Do you know how many times they ran the ball on first down the other day? In today's NFL, in a passing league, it's a joke, and that's the problem this team's undertaking right now. So I don't think it would even change because the rest of the organizational structure is flawed.
What do you think about Dak Prescott's progression? I don't want to say de-evolution. I don't want to say regression because I don't know. Maybe you think this is not his fault, but what do you think about where Dak began in his career to where he is right now?
I like Dak Prescott. I'm a big fan of his. I get killed around here for being a Dak Prescott fan because there's a lot of people who just think that he's not a very good player. I think that him and Jason together cannot succeed. Jason needs a different style of quarterback. Dak is not that guy. Dak's not a pocket passer. He's never going to be. They're misusing him. He is. He needs to be able to move more. Think of him as like they got to do what the Panthers do with Cam Newton. Dak, is built like Tim Tebow. He's a better passer than Tim Tebow. They need to utilize him like that. Let him run. Let him use his arm. And let him go. And they just don't do that. So I think that part of this is Dak's fault. He's not very accurate. He takes way too much time progressing and going through his reads. He's very indecisive. And it's all been since that Atlanta game last year. I don't know if it's fixable, but I know it's not going to work with this coach.
What's the biggest reason Jason Garrett is still employed?
Continuity. For one, Jerry likes the idea of trying to find himself his own Tom Landry. I still think, I think Jason could be a good head coach in the NFL. He's proven that he can win double-digit games multiple times. I think he could be a good head coach. I just don't think he's the right fit now. I think the reason he's still employed, honestly, is Jerry doesn't want to start over. Jerry's at a stage in his life where the risk of starting over, and this is a guy who has never been scared of taking risks, the risk of starting over is too much. And, Jason's kind of family. So it's a mom and pop. This organization is run like a mom and pop, for better or worse. There's something, kind of unique about that's likable. But at the end of the day, they're not very cutthroat right now when it comes to the head coach.
Okay, so this is the most fascinating thing that I think has ever been said about the Cowboys on this show, that they are run like a mom and pop. This is an organization that is worth more money than any other organization in professional sports in North America. This is an organization that has the most opulent palace in the league to play in. This is an organization that broke every bank possible to build its practice facility and never, ever, ever blinks at cost. So how can you call it mom and pop? I think that's interesting.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is run by the family. It's a family business. They're not bringing in outsiders to really take over. They like who they have in place. They've got a guy in Jason Garrett who, and I like Jason, but they got a guy in Jason who's like a family member to them. And they run it not like a Fortune 500 company. They don't run it like a cutthroat professional sports business. They run it like the mom and pop that is going to keep you there because they like you and because, you put in long hours and you work hard and you've earned it. And that's it. It's not based on results. It's based on just about everything else.
So that's interesting. RJ Choppy joins us from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. They are cutthroat in business, though, right? They're just not cutthroat in football.
Oh, they're definitely cutthroat in business. Yeah, I mean, Jerry, you don't amass the fortune that he has without being cutthroat. But when it comes to football, they just take back, several years, even back in the Wade Phillips era. Jerry did not want to – when Jerry hired Bill, he hired him to get the stadium built. We all know that. Then he just wasn't having fun. He got Wade in. He wanted a guy he could put his arm around, maybe have a drink with, just talk football, talk life, enjoy it. Jerry wants to enjoy football. He wants to enjoy the team. He wants to win, but he wants to enjoy it as well. And he can enjoy it with Jason. Jason's a family member. Jason's not going to rock the boat. Jason's going to, offer his opinion, but, he's allowed to enjoy it. And, this, it's really, there's a lot of misconceptions about this organization. The thought is that it's just Jerry running the show. There's no other voices. There's plenty of other voices. And Jerry will listen. The problem is that all the voices have the same leader. Jason came from the school of North Turner. The offense is the North Turner offense. And then Jerry and Steven, they're all from that same tree. There's no check and balance of somebody over here coming from the Bill Walsh regime, the Bill Belichick regime. That doesn't exist here.
So even though the Cowboys were winning under Bill Parcells, Jerry Jones never really wanted that winning. He just wanted a new stadium out of that winning.
Well, I mean, he wanted the winning, but, like, the goal was, you know, they attendance was starting to dip under Campo. They had gone from Switzer to Gailey to Campo. They needed credibility. They needed stabilization. Bill gave them that. Bill gave them a plan. He gave them stabilization. He gave them a stadium. And he wasn't enjoying it. I mean, he just wasn't having fun. Like, they were starting to win. You could see the track marks. You could see the draft. They were starting to get traction. And then right after that, they went 13-3. So it all came into play. But he wasn't having fun. Like, he didn't have that enjoyable football moment. And I also think part of it was Jerry knew that if they won with Bill, who was getting the credit? It was going to be Bill. It was not going to be Jerry. And I think that played into a little bit as well.
And ultimately, that is the greatest vulnerability, the greatest weakness of Jerry Jones, that he is still fighting for credibility in football. Still with Jimmy Johnson, 25 years later, he's fighting about who built those teams. And that's ultimately what's going to sink him in a football standpoint the rest of his life, right?
Damon, Jerry's in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy's not. Jerry's won. Right? I mean, he's won. He's
but, no, but nobody believes that they built a 90s dynasty because of Jerry Jones.
No, they don't. No, you're right. Nobody believes that. But Jerry can, I mean, Jerry's sitting on $5 billion or whatever it is. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's got this large palace built. I mean, his legacy is completely set. And he can always say, guys, I hired Jimmy. I was smart enough to make that hire. The insecurity is bothersome. Like, there's no reason that a guy worth that amount of money who's in the one of the most sacred halls in sports is insecure. And that's what kind of is troublesome about the whole situation.
Undoubtedly. Do you think at the end of the season going this way that they would have to part ways with Jason Garrett?
I do. I think they've hit a point where they have to figure out the quarterback. And I think it's apparent that this coach and this quarterback just don't work well together. And it's unfortunate. I like both. I like Jason. I like Dak. I've come to the realization that they're not going to succeed together. Problem is, I don't know that Jason's going to get another head coaching job. I don't know who's going to hire him. I think Dak would have a chance to get another starting quarterback job better than Jason would have a chance to get another head coaching job. But we know what position matters more. I mean, more importantly, he's probably quarterback than head coach. So I think Jason's gone. They're not going to embarrass him midseason, I don't think. And that's one thing. You know, they did it with Wade. It was very tough on Jerry, and Jason is kind of like family. I don't think they'll embarrass him by firing him midseason.
RJ Choppy, listen to him mornings on 105 Through the Fan with Sean and RJ every single morning there. They do an amazing job setting the tempo and setting the talk topics in Big D. And he joins us, as always, from our friends at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. RJ, great stuff as always, brother. I hope you're well, and I hope I see you at the Super Bowl.
Will do, man. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. RJ Choppy doing good work, as always, and joining us here on the show. Always an interesting conversation with him. That's great stuff. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut. Plus, we've got your epic fail as the war of the Battle of the Bulge continues to bulge at the seams. Bogish, we have a listener that says that you're a handsome man. You're fine. You're gorge.
Yeah, that's a new one for me. I gorge. Appreciate that. Gorge. I'll take it.
Rose says you're gorge.
That's a way to balance out the sir I got last week. That makes me feel, rejuvenated.
You're a gorgeous sir.
Thank you, babe.
DA CBS Sports Radio, the gorgeous sir has your headlines. Get him out!
Get him out.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, each and every day you can watch the show at watchda.com, and you can also watch Sunday Morning Football. This weekend I'll begin the show, as always, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, but we'll do it live from Atlanta in our 92.9 The Game studios of the ATL as I'll head down to Athens for Auburn in Georgia. Heading down there for that game. Going to be watching that and then break down everything in college football and preview the NFL Sunday on Sunday Morning Football. So you can watch it just like you watch this show at watchda.com. You can also listen to it the same way as you listen to this show, as well as many more affiliates as well across the country. Because you see, on the weekends, all of our wonderful radio affiliates say, you know what, we could use some football programming. How about that DA guy? We'll take that. We'll put that out to the masses. We like that. It's got college football. It's got NFL. And so we have some amazing numbers of affiliates that carry that show, and we appreciate each and every one of them each and every week. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Phil in Dallas tweets, Cowboys fans are totally screwed for the foreseeable future. The operation is humming along just fine from a business standpoint, and for Jerry, winning would be a nice bonus, but isn't mandatory. Being happy is his priority, and he likes Jason Garrett. Phil, you're right. And RJ Choppy from 105.3, the fan in Dallas, just joined us. And I love that he put it as though the Cowboys are a mom and pop operation. You never think of it like that because they are such a multi-billion dollar industrial complex. But, and they're totally cutthroat in business. I mean, Jerry has ramrodded his way and his ways and his thinking into that league over their heads. And he's in the Hall of Fame because of it. He's not in the Hall of Fame because of football. He's in the Hall of Fame because of business. Because he has been heavy-handed and bashed the other owners over the head, been cutthroat, got the votes he needed, manipulated votes, manipulated the league to do all the things he knew would make money. From endorsements and stadiums and sponsorships and expansion and relocation, all of those things. He's cutthroat in that way, but he is mom and pop in football. It's a family-run business. And the fact is those families, that family, are football bozos. That family is cutthroat at business, but mom and pop at football. Cutthroat in business, family in football, and the family is football bozos. Alex tweets, DA, you have called me the leader of the anti-Mraz movement, and I'm flattered. But the true leader of the anti-Mraz movement is Mraz himself. Then Robbie came in and took away the it factor for Mraz, and now the face of the mothership is Huge Freeze. Sad, but true. Is that true? That the face of this show that has my name on it isn't even me anymore? Is it possible that instead of my face on the logo, there should be Robbie's face on the logo? Well, that would be a real turn of events.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva, viva Las Vegas!
Lonnie tweets, DA, let Andrew Bogish know he's so damn gorge and still an old sir. You should refer to AB as Sir Gorge. Lewis in Palmdale tweets a cartoon picture of the Peanuts. I never understand your jokes, sir, with Bogish responding, stop calling me sir. Kevin sends us our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Kevin tweets, DA, once this G League allows kids to go right into semi-pro ball, college basketball will start to crumble and be less appealing to watch. Hashtag be careful what you wish for. Well, hang on. The G League isn't semi-pro. Those are paid professionals. And those are professional leagues. And those guys have salaries. They don't have plumber jobs on the side. So this will allow college kids to go be a professional, not a semi-pro. And it might take away kids like Zion Williamson and other stars from college basketball for a year en route to the NBA, but I would rather have it transparent. Right now, as we just talked to Dan Wetzel the other day from Yahoo Sports, the top recruits are getting paid anyway somehow by the sneaker companies funneled to them, by the schools, vice versa. I would rather have that payment transparent than having these kids think that they're the criminals. The market dictates they're worth more than their scholarship, as much as the rest of the pearl clutchers around college basketball try to argue, oh, no, we can't break up college basketball because it's too, if the education's too important. Look, the education's important. It's just not as important as the money that they're getting on the side. The value of their education isn't equitable to what their value is in the open market. Because if it was, then Louisville or Kansas or Duke or North Carolina or whoever signs these kids would just say, well, how about the education? But no, it's an education plus. An education plus $1.25. So stop making these kids take bags of money funneled to their parents behind closed doors. Make it open. Stop painting these kids as the criminals here. Oh my God, they made the program ineligible. No! Rick Pitino and his bag men made it ineligible. Bruce Bowen was going to get paid. Bryce Bowen, Brian Bowen, the Bowen. He was going to get paid because there was money out there to get paid by. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, and this Battle of the Bulge is bursting at the seams.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I got an email this morning from our friend Adriana, and she is a hardcore D-alien. And she is one of our best listeners. She writes, let's get one thing straight. I am Team Mraz all the way. Mraz is my boy.
Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Mraz is ridiculous and salty and hilarious.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
However, last week I hopped on the old Twitter machine and I saw you in studio as He Who Shall Not Be Named sang the Perfect Strangers theme song.
Get a feeling like you need some kind of change.
And now I'm lost, DA. What am I to do? Whose side should I be on?
I am broken!
My man BRCG is in Topeka. He has been with me on this show as a hardcore D-alien since 2004. BRCG, what's up, my man?
Here's the deal. Huge, whatever his name is. That cat is somebody's child. He's somebody's son. Because I don't know why y'all think that we need to listen to him sing on a sports radio show.
Standing tall on the wings of my dreams.
I know you do your thing, D.A., but come on, my man. Mraz is the A number one.
I love my sausage smoked. Sean McVay's a hunk.
Sweetness, saltiness, buttery, bready.
Mraz is there the first. You can't come in and take anything away from the original.
Ooh, yeah, mama.
Mraz, wherever you are, get back, get it cleaned up, and get Huge Freeze off the radio.
Wow.
You are in a dilemma, the same way everybody on this show is that's listening. You came in knowing you hated Robbie, and Mraz was here to save the day.
I am so much smarter than this buffoon in football picking.
And now what you see is Robbie brings a lot of good to the table.
Is that so?
And now you're torn. I understand it, but I can't tell you where to vote. I can't tell you where to put your heart. I can only tell you, keep listening, because everything is on the line.
Wow, wow, wow.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Dixieland Dan tweets, I'm Team Mraz 1,000 times over, but even I'm coming around on Robbie's fat ass. His segments on Thursdays aren't as bad as they used to be. I can stand them now and actually find some enjoyment in his humor. God, I can't believe I just said that. Blasphemy.
Fat.
Dez Bryant has officially signed with the New Orleans Saints, so reports Adam Schefter. Look, the Saints have Michael Thomas, and he's been wonderful. He had an enormous game, obviously, on Sunday in that big one against the Rams. But outside of Michael Thomas, they've had really lackluster production at wide receiver. Ted Ginn's been in the IR with the knee injury. Cam Meredith, who was signed to the offseason, hasn't really played the last couple of weeks. He's only had 9 catches this season. Traquan Smith, who they drafted to be the number 2, at times has showed some flashes, but very inconsistent. So they're looking for another dependable target. I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing in Dez Bryant. Obviously, Dez needs to check his ego at the door. I wonder if Dez thinks he's better than he is. I wonder if Dez believes that he belongs as a number 1 or a number 2. But ultimately, this is a no-risk proposition
because we see that Drew Brees doesn't need Dez Bryant to make this thing work. They don't need him to win. He's coming into a winning situation, and there's got to be, I assume, very little risk in his contract at this point of the season. So overall, I like this deal by the Saints. Give Drew Brees another target and give a Super Bowl contender another option. Our toll-free line is always brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Thanks to Connor Green, who has filled in admirably for Mraz the last 3 days as executive producer. Mraz is back tomorrow. Thanks to Dan Silverman as associate producer and also filling in on the Wheels of Steel this morning. As always, we have the great Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel full-time. Andrew Kaplan running the simulcast at WatchDA.com. And Andrew Bogish, a gorge sir, on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.